The Australian Catholic Migrant and Refugee Office is calling on the government of Australia to make more space for asylum seekers. In a statement issued this week following the drowning death of several migrants off the coast of Indonesia, ACMRO Director Father Maurizio Petena said the case heightens the need to provide legal pathways and more space within Australia's humanitarian program. Chris Altieri spoke with Father Petena about how the church in Australia is working with the government to help the most vulnerable asylum seekers.
I must say that we have an open conversation with the government, and we made the position of the Catholic Church quite clear from the start. And the position of the Catholic Church is based on a long tradition of Catholic social teaching, and as well as a long tradition on teaching focused on migrants and refugees. The Holy Father just released the message for the 97th World Day on Migrants and Refugees, on migrants and evangelization. Now, this speaks that there have been almost 100 messages to be attributed to the Holy Fathers of consistent teaching on issue of migrants and refugees. So this has certainly informed a way of speaking and a way of acting. As far as the question of asylum seekers coming to seek refuge to our country, Australia, now, what our conversation with the government focus on is on this line. What we are saying is that prolonged detention, we in Australia have a system of detention for people who come by boat. So we have two systems of treating asylum seekers. Now, we have asylum seekers who come by plane, the majority, the greatest majority of them. They might come, for example, on a tourist visa and then claim refugee status on arrival. Now, these refugees or asylum seekers people, and I repeat, the largest, greatest majority, they are allowed to be in the community, to settle in the community, whilst their papers and their claims are processed. The very small minority of people who do come via boats, they are to be detained. Now, we question the disparity in treatment of the two groups. What we are reasoning with the government is, first of all, the issue of why is it that a group of people is forced to come by boat? And you know, we often say, if these people are in fear for their lives or are in countries where the situation is certainly tragic from many point of views. No one chooses to be an asylum seeker or a refugee, or certainly no one would choose to come through the most dangerous way. But we need to understand that some of them just cannot queue up in front of an embassy or a government department, excuse me, and ask for traveling documents or even less a passport. So we need to be able to understand the situation where these people come from. Now, the other question that we have is with an undue prolonged detention. Now, in all fairness, now the government is trying its best to deal with the situation. I think we've journeyed a long way with the treatment of children, particularly unaccompanied children, to have them in community places whilst their papers are processed, and this is going fairly well. Now, we are proposing the government that, and we are very clear. First of all, we had a long conversation on issues pertaining to offshore, onshore visa processing, and we showed ourselves to be very much against offshore protection. These are people that come to Australia in search of refuge. So what we need to focus is on the human dignity and on the people in search for protection. We need to ask ourselves, why do they choose Australia? We need to ask ourselves, can Australia afford to give them protections? We cannot forget that we signed the agreement on the protection of refugees in 1951, and so we do have certain obligations. You might have heard, for example, of the attempt to sign a swap of refugees with Malaysia. Now, in that case, we became very concerned, A, because Malaysia did not sign the conventions on refugees, and you know what we know is that the level of treatment of refugees, I'm in conversation with some NGOs in Malaysia, some Catholics group in Malaysia, so we know that there is no guarantee that people would be treated with dignity. The other things that we say very much is that the fact that we stop boats, I always say, what is the main contribution of the Catholic Church? And I believe that the main contribution is to walk the way of the human person, the human being. This is our focus. I always say in dealing at this level, even, you know, this past week has been almost an everyday conversation with members of the Australian Parliament. Even when we would be successful, if we ever would, in stopping the boats, we have not yet answered the question of how to protect vulnerable people. And this is a non-negotiable call for Christians. When I'm asked, why does the church is so much concerned with migrants? We are concerned with migrants because we are deeply concerned with our brothers and sisters, and particularly the most vulnerable one. Our base for action is, you know, is Matthew 25. I was a stranger, I was a foreigner, and you welcomed me. And the biblical experience is very much on this line. So this is the main contribution, and we're trying also to dispel the myths of you know, queue jumpers or people not going through the right to the right channels, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, just a few days ago, we had a case of a suicide in one of the detention places. And situations such as these do happen because we have people, we have young people in detention that have been detained for as long as 1.5 years or 2 years. And you know, we need to be able to be a voice of conscience with those who have authority, you know, to perhaps perform better decisions. You know, and that's why we are really saying that, you know, to have these people in community is the best option. First of all, because their papers will certainly be processed much quicker, but also, you know, to give everyone a fair chance to, you know, to get along with their life in a dignified and Christian way.